Thank you. Just giving the Lord the time he needs for you to feel his presence. So, Father, take our thoughts, take our minds, take my mind, and will you speak through that we might hear what you are saying to us. Amen. So we come to the second week of looking at this book. And I'm hoping that most of you have got a copy of it now. And I'm hoping, have all the copies gone now? Yeah. Right. So if you haven't got one and you want one, will you let Doug know and we can get another copy? Because it would be wonderful for you to work through this and to take it home and to say to the Lord, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying to me, to us, as church, through what we're hearing week on week? And so, although this booklet is called Spiritual Gifts, this series that we're looking at is really about using our gifts to serve the church. All right? And this, if you like, is a manual to help us, because the first question we ask is, well, how do we serve? And then the second question is, well, we're giving you. This is how we serve one another. So it's a series about using our gifts to serve the church and to serve one another. Now, our gifts, as we've learnt this morning by saying, what animal are we? Our gifts are unique to each one of us. And everyone who belongs to the fellowship here has a part to play in using them. That means everyone. And that's why last week Doug referred to 1 Corinthians 12, and it's where Paul was explaining to a very young church in Corinth that everyone has gifts to share, and no one can say either, I don't have one, or, well, I'm not sharing mine. Okay, that we don't have that as an option. Remember Paul's words about eyes and ears and feet and hands, you know, because I'm not a hand, well, I'm no good, you know, I want to be a foot. No, we can't do that. We may want to have something different to the talents and gifts we've got, but our gifts are unique to us, and by using them together, we build into the body God has intended us to be. I firmly believe and have done over the years that God sends the people here that he wants for the fellowship here to grow right here, right now. I'm a firm believer of that. So you are not here by chance. You are all here because God has called you here for a reason, and that reason is to build the fellowship up. Build us up. Why? So that we can bring glory to God. That's the circle. Not about us, it's about God. So, God has designed each one of us with a set of natural talents. You know? Beatrice, singing. Needleworkers, artists, coffee makers, musicians, carers, prayers, mediators, etc., etc., etc. But he has also given us a unique set of spiritual gifts which can enhance our natural skills or be divinely used to enhance the kingdom of God. Whatever gifting we have contributes to the growth of the church, and we are weakened every time someone chooses not to use their gifting for the good of the whole. So, this week, we're delving into Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, and Hayley is going to read it for us.
prisoner, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascends to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
Thank you, Hayley. There is so much in those 16 verses. We're going to just tease out a few of them. So in the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul has reminded them of their identity in Christ. And it's good for us to be reminded of who we are in Christ. We, sat here today, have been chosen. We have been redeemed. We are sealed in the Spirit. And we are incorporated into the body of Christ, his church. But for what purpose? For what purpose? Is that it for us until we get to heaven? Well, some might think so, but of course not. That is really not what it's about. We have a calling now as a believer and follower of Christ, not just alone, but together as a body to fulfill Christ's purposes. So Paul carries on in Ephesians 4 and verse 7. He says that it's the same idea as he introduced in Corinthians. We are one body now, one body. We are one body, not individuals. And as such, we have the same Spirit and the same calling. In effect, we have each been given something we don't deserve. We have been graced with the gift of eternal life. And now, Paul says, we have each been graced with a special gift. And I have to say, and I put it in brackets, at least one, okay? To be used to build up the church and to be used for his glory. You don't believe that you have such a gift? It's not been given to you? Well, can I just remind you that 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Can't get away from that one, can you? Ephesians 4, verse 7 says, "He has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ." Why? In verse 16, it says, "As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." So that's number one objection down. The list of gifts is not limited to those we mentioned last week in Corinthians, and more are mentioned here, and still more are referred to in Romans 12 and 1 Peter 4. And as I've said, those gifts given to us by the grace of God can be an enhancement of our natural gifts and talents. Think of Michelangelo and painting the Sistine Chapel. You know, I mean, you've got to have a natural gift, but a supernatural ability to have that, for us to marvel at it. Think of architects, Sir Christopher Wren, who designed, and the stonemasons who built beautiful cathedrals. Think of needlewomen, such as yourselves, to craft beautiful embroidery, to point people to a creator God. Look at them around the walls, pointing people to a creator God. So you get the point. But there are some gifts that God graces us with which are purely of the Spirit. Those in Corinthians and the passage here and the passages I've mentioned in Romans 12 and 1 Peter 4, I believe, fall into that category and are to be used just as readily and as frequently as our natural gifts if we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. My grandmother was a lovely lady. I would say that because she was my grandmother. But she was given a beautiful, it was in effect a vase. Now, this was back in the 70s, and it was filled with wax, so it became a candle, and that was quite unique in the 70s. I mean, nowadays it's normal, but then, and it's a beautiful vase. It's about that high, and it's got a lady on it, and she was given that as a gift. And she liked it so much that she never lit it. And it was put away because she didn't want it to be broken. And when she died, I found it. And I've got it to this day. And it's a reminder for me of my grandmother. But, you know, it wasn't designed not to be used. And she didn't get the pleasure from it, which was the intended purchase of that gift. I have been known to have been given gifts, edible gifts, that are so stonkingly nice looking that I've put them away in a cupboard. Oh, because you can't just have that for now. No, that's got to be for a special occasion. Well, you either forget that it's there on the special occasion, or you forget where you've put it on the special occasion, or, as has happened to me, when I've got it out, it's gone off. Have you been there? Have you done something like that? Because, you know, it's it's no longer fit for purpose. And that is not the intention when God hands out gifting to us. He graces us with his gifts. We don't deserve them. He graces us with them. He doesn't have to give them to us. He gives them to us. So how do you think he feels when we keep the gift for a special occasion, only to find that it's spoilt and it's past its best? We can't do it. I don't know if you remember the parable of the talents that Jesus taught. We find it in Matthew 25. And it's about a wealthy landowner, and he goes away and he gets three of his servants and he apportions out money to each of them. And he says, "Go on, off you go with that. Do something with it. And when I come back, I want to see what you've done with it." And when the landowner comes back, the one servant says, "Oh, well, you gave me X and I've doubled it. It's now 2X. "Oh, great," he says. "That's brilliant." And then the other one says, "Oh, well, you gave me 2X and now it's 4X, etc. So that's brilliant too." And then he calls the last one and he says, "Well, what did you do with the portion that I gave you, which was one bag?" And this guy says, and I sympathize with him, This guy turns around and says, well, I know that you're a bit of a harsh master, and I know that, you know, I was really frightened that I would lose this if I tried to invest it. I thought I might lose it. So, what's better than not losing it is just keeping it to one side so I can give it back to you. So I hid it, and here it is. Was he happy? No, he wasn't. This landowner says, well, you know, I gave it to you so that you could invest it. I gave it to you to use. You didn't even manage to put it into a bank so that it would gain interest. You just hid it away. And I sometimes think that that's a really harsh parable, because I'm thinking, oh, you know, I think I might have hidden it because I'm worried about losing it or not doing with it, not being worthy of it. But if you think it's harsh, it's Jesus who's saying here, you know what? Because you haven't done what I asked with that part, I'm going to give it to the person who's doubled theirs, and you're not going to get anything. Now that is tough. That's really tough. And Matthew 25, verse 29 says this: to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. So I don't know about you, but if you are given a gift, make sure you use it well so that you can have an abundance. Because if you have an abundance, we have an abundance. If you hide it, it's hidden from us all. Be under no illusions. If you have received God's salvation, you have also received his gracious spiritual gift to use for his glory. Paul also implies here that in these verses that we will become more mature as we work together, and that unity is somehow vital to our growth together. He says we're no longer children. We shouldn't be. No, we should no longer be children, forever changing our minds about what we believe or being impressed by the next bit of new teaching. You know, children tend to act impulsively, don't they? They go on their feelings. Well, you do, don't you? Sometimes as adults, we do the same. We don't have the maturity. Children don't have the maturity to see the consequences of their action until occasionally they see the consequences of their action and they learn from that. I'm thinking in terms of falling off walls and breaking limbs, you know? We just do it. And sometimes as individuals, we fall off walls and we break limbs. Not literally, but that's what we do. Children are often attracted by showmanship and entertainment, getting drawn in by the glitz and the glam of, you know, that's half of our programs on television are about glitz and glam, and we get sucked into them. We are not to allow the world or our new or old church thinking, come to that, to necessarily sway us without first judging the basis of the teaching in Scripture and discussing it with one another, weighing and making judgments in unity with one another. That's what it's about. So, using those gifts given to us by God to serve Christ in his church is an undeserved privilege. We're told in verse 7, they have been graced to us, they have been given to us, they have been gifted, and to be used for his glory. And Paul ends this section by reminding us in verses 15 and 16 that a healthy body will practice truth balanced with love. And that's the important things. Think of scales. We have to be true and honest with one another, but let's balance it with love. It's not a harsh thing. And a healthy body will submit to Christ's lordship in all areas. Well, after all, he is the head of the church. He is our head. And every member contributing to the growth of the whole. So verse 16 says, under his, Christ's direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Now, those of you who have got to know me quite well will know that I am not I don't do craft. I'm just no good at craft. I'm really not. I can do it, but I don't do it, if you get me, because I don't enjoy it really, and it's just not me. And okay, I've accepted it's just not me. But you know those paper chains that you can do, you know, and I decided I'd do some paper chains, and this was my first attempt. Oop. I didn't cut that one properly. That's my first attempt. You know, we're told to be joined together. And so often in church life, that's how we end up. We're not joined, okay? So I thought, well, that's no good. I've got to do a second attempt. This was my second attempt, okay? And this is what Paul is talking about. All of us joined together, okay? That's how we should be connected all together. If we are not using our gifts, if we are not working together, or if one of us turns around and says, oh, I don't want to do this. Look what happens. I don't want to do this. So we'll have some joined and some joined, but not joined together. So there's the illustration. We have to be together in this. Let's join together, because united we stand for the glory of God. Divided we will fall. Simple as that. If you have something not working properly, it's not just you that suffers, but the whole unity is broken and weakened. And God has saved you to serve him in some capacity. As one person said, ministry is having your cup full to the brim of Jesus Christ, and I would say of the Holy Spirit as well. Imagine yourself absolutely full. I used to say sometimes, imagine your head is open and in there is sloshing God and the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So imagine yourself the cup full of Jesus Christ, and then you get around somebody else. You sit together with other people, and as you move, you can't help it. You are slopping the Spirit onto other people. You're sharing Christ with other folk. It just happens naturally. Why? Because you are so full that it spills over. And wouldn't it be wonderful if each one of us here says, someone comes to us and says, I just don't know why, but I feel so much better around you. You exhibit so much joy or peace or, you know, well, that's what you're doing. You are slopping the Spirit. You're slopping God onto other people. And that is what we need to do to encourage one another. So, our challenge over the next few weeks is to seek God for his spiritual gifts. Ask one another what gifts they see in you. Don't finish with an animal. What gifts do people see in you? Okay? Listen to what they're saying. But ask God to show you where you fit into the body and begin or continue to serve the Lord using those revealed natural and supernatural gifts to grace others. And use them with all of your heart and with all of your strength. I want to leave you with some words of Oswald Chambers. I don't know if you've ever heard of Oswald Chambers, but he was a great theologian, real man of God, back in the early 1900s. And this is what Oswald Chambers says. We are not here to develop a spiritual life of our own or to enjoy spiritual retirement. We are here so to realize Jesus Christ that the body of Christ may be built up. Am I building up the body of Christ? Or am I looking for my own personal development only? The essential thing is my personal relationship to Jesus Christ, that I may know him. To fulfill God's design means entire abandonment to him. Whenever I want things for myself, the relationship is distorted. It will be a big humiliation to realize that I have not been concerned about realizing Jesus Christ, but only about realizing what he has done for me. My goal is God himself, not joy, nor peace, nor even blessing, but himself, my God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come and to speak into our lives. Lord, we really do want to be a body with you as our head, bringing glory to you so that we can share you in this community. And for that, we know that you have graced us, not just with your presence, not just with eternal life, but with natural and supernatural gifts to be used for your glory. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would reveal to each one of us those gifts that you have given to us to use to build up the body. Help each one of us, I pray, to be involved, not to break the chain, not to be an individual, but to be united in you. So, Holy Spirit, will you speak to us now? I'm just going to give you some moments of quiet. Don't be afraid. Ask the Lord to show you what gifting he is giving to you. What a privilege it is to receive a gift from God. Lord, help us to unwrap them, not to put them in a drawer, not to admire them so much that we never use them, but help us to enjoy them, be blessed by them, and in turn bless others. All for your glory. Amen.